Hello. Welcome to the program. This is a special edition today. This is above and beyond what I usually do. It is Veterans Day weekend, and in order to honor Veterans Day, we have this little special for you. We're going to interview three experts in the field of serving your country and how your country serves you after you've served your country. It's a lot. This is fairly interesting, and this is how we're going to honor our veterans on Veterans Day. We're first going to speak to the American Legion commander, who happens to be the first female American Legion commander. She's Denise Rohand. We're going to talk to her today. Then we're going to talk to Preston Rice, who is an author of a children's series book. Interestingly enough, the stories in the children's series are about the military and how a child can learn from that type of discipline. A different twist on a children's book, I'll tell you that. And then we're also going to talk to Dr. J.D. Crouch, who is the president of the USO. So, let's get started. Let's get this party started.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
They get weird no matter what. No matter what, we get weird.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's a special edition of the Ron Van Dam Show.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
That's absolutely true. Okay, let's get started.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I am great.
Fantastic.
How are you doing?
Well, great. Not as great as you. You sound really great. This is a National Commander of the American Legion, Denise Rohand, and she joins us now. Congratulations, I guess, are in order. You're the first female National Commander?
I am, and it is quite an honor, but it's a very humbling experience also.
I can imagine. Now, what have you done since you took that commander role? I understand you've been quite busy.
I have been. I took the role on August 24th. I have visited 12 different states since then. So it's like 60 days, 12 states. I've been to Washington, D.C. twice. And then to our national headquarters, which one of them is in Indianapolis, Indiana, a couple times also. So it's busy. And I keep taking my vitamins to make sure I don't get, you know, sick or anything.
Yes, because you got a lot of stuff. You got to keep moving, so to speak.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, there's something called the Family First agenda. What is Family First?
So my theme for the year is Family First, because I believe we were all put on earth to take care of each other. Now, we have our personal families, but then when someone joins the military, you kind of get a whole bunch of new brothers and sisters.
Yes.
When you go through basic training, you start depending on one another. And from base to base and post to post, wherever you happen to go, you have this new family that's helping to take care of you. And then if you happen to get out of the military and you end up in a community that you may not feel like you're part of,
That's
when I found the American Legion family. And we have the American Legion Auxiliary, our Sons of the American Legion, our American Legion Riders. And within that post home, you start feeling like you have another bunch of brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, grandmas and grandpas, and we just start taking care of each other. And then when you look at the American Legion and what we do is take care of veterans and their families,
yes.
our military and their families, and we take care of children and youth, and we teach about Americanism. And in reality, when I look at that, the American Legion family is all about taking care of our nation's families. So it really is. It becomes one big
family
first issue.
Yeah. I wish our nation could be one big family. I think that'd be nice, too.
Well,
you know, but
that would be nice.
Can't have everything, I guess. Not right now. Okay, Veterans Day. What do you do on Veterans Day? Are you busy? That's kind of funny.
Veterans Day, personally, I'm going to be in New York City, part of the New York City parade, and then I am asking American Legion posts across the nation, I'm asking them to open up their post homes and invite the community in. We do, American Legions across the nation are known for feeding people,
yes.
and so I'm asking posts to open their homes, invite the community in so they can actually see what the American Legion does and how we affect and change communities across this nation. Now, personally, I'm going to be in Post 1291 out in New York, and that's where I'll be having my meal
Good.
With my American Legion family
Good.
Out there.
Cool. What are some of the most important issues facing veterans today? It doesn't really change. It's just a question of, I think it doesn't really change. It's just the fact that we're starting now to recognize what those issues are.
Well, yeah. In my travels, I've talked to a lot of veterans who live in rural areas, and they're concerned about their health care and the distance they need to travel. So there's a lot of work being done in the CHOICE program, and now there's a new push for something called CARE.
Yes.
But we're also concerned about military budgets, veterans getting the benefits they deserve and that their claims are being processed like they should be. And
yes.
then there's military suicide,
yeah.
Or veteran suicide. And the suicide issue, again, brings me back around to that family first issue of actually sitting down and listening to people and making people feel like they're part of a community and part of something bigger than themselves to help them, you know, get the care they need and get the support that people need.
Yeah, I can't imagine assimilating back into a society when you've had a completely different lifestyle for so many years prior. That's difficult, and it takes people who understand that to be able to solve that.
Exactly. And in the military today, when you go in, you get a battle buddy,
mm-hmm.
and you're with that battle buddy throughout pretty much your whole service. But when you get out, that battle buddy would go home also.
Correct.
And so you may not be in the same place. And and again, that's where the American Legion family steps up, and we want people to stop by our American Legion post and visit with us and be part of our community, be part of our family.
I understand you're preparing to visit to the Far East as well.
I am, and I'm excited about that. We will be visiting South Korea, where we have American Legion post, and we also have troops that are serving there.
Yes.
It's strange how, in general, people don't realize that we have military personnel stationed around the globe.
Mm.
So we have military in South Korea, but we're also going to be visiting Okinawa and the Philippines. Again, we have Legion posts there and military personnel. So.
That's
important.
We're
going to make sure that our military are taken care of and their families and then visiting with our American Legion members also.
Wow. How long does your post last? Is it, I'm not familiar with how that works.
It is a one-year term.
Uh-huh.
And I'm told if you do the job right, you're so tired by the end you couldn't possibly go on for a second year.
Well, you're taking vitamins, though, so this is different.
Well, that's right, but 2 months in, I'm like, okay, I understand that. But.
I don't think any other commander took vitamins, so I think you'd be the first who would actually.
Oh, no, I'm sure they did.
I talked to other ones. They didn't mention that they took vitamins, so I don't know.
They did. Oh, my gosh.
Okay. All right. It's a pleasure speaking to you, and you do have a definite spirit that I've picked up from this interview that definitely works. So congratulations in that sense and being the diplomat. Continued success to you. Where do we go for more information?
For more information, you can go to our website, which is legion.org. It doesn't get any easier than that, I don't think.
No.
Just legion.org.
Good.
And
perfect.
People can spend months there.
On the website?
on the website. Yep.
Really? Oh, my God. Okay.
But I ask, you know, when you go to the website and you start seeing what we do, check out the American Legion in person.
Perfect. Legion.org. And, of course, the American Legions are all over, so you can certainly do that. Thank you so much for joining us, National Commander of the American Legion, Denise Ron. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ron.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hello.
Good morning, Ron.
How are you today, J.D.?
I'm terrific. How are you?
Great. J.D. Crouch is the president and CEO of the USO. First of all, my impression as a layperson is that the USO is Bob Hope and many celebrities entertaining troops, but it's more than that, isn't it?
Yeah, a lot more. I mean, we run a network of over 200 centers all over the world, from Kansas to Kandahar, Afghanistan. We provide everything from, you know, satellite Wi-Fi connections to care packages and all other things. All of this is really designed to do one thing, which is to strengthen our troops, keeping them connected to family, home, and country.
Okay. Now, the USO Pathfinder program is a specific program, or does it encompass everything that you're talking about?
No, it's a specific program, and it's relatively new, but it's a really great extension of what we've done. Most Americans don't know that on a regular basis, 200,000 people leave service every year. And those people, some of them have spent their whole career in, some of them have only done a four-year hitch. But it's an opportunity, this is the time that they need to be reintegrated back into civilian life. And that's what our Pathfinder program is all about, helping that final connection back into civilian life.
Okay. And so this is specific because, I mean, in general, there are many problems facing people that, military people that come back. But that's like melding into society is like pretty much everything, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean it's the key thing to make them a successful veteran, and you know, Ron, these people have an enormous amount to give back to our country. Just look at what the World War II generation did. These are, you know, most of these people are really highly trained, highly skilled. They've had responsibilities that, you know, a typical 25 or 28 year old would never have. They know how to work as a team. They know how to, I mean, they're great people for companies to hire. It's a matter of helping them understand how best to go about that, and that's what we're helping them.
Yeah, probably the greatest asset they have is the way that they have discipline, which is very important for a focused job performance.
Absolutely.
I mean, all the qualities are there. You're right. But do employers necessarily go that route?
A lot of them are, and some there's been some amazing employers like Boeing and Starbucks and J.P. Morgan and others who've really stepped up. And not only have they done this because they think it's a right thing to do for the country, they've done it because they've realized it's the right thing to do for their companies. These people are very successful when they're reintegrated and trained into the, you know, the company program. You know, the ability to operate under stress, operate as a team, as you said, be able to make decisions. These are the kinds of qualities that you can't teach. You can teach people how to do, you know, what Amazon does or what Starbucks does. So it's been a great partnership in working with a lot of companies to help support this.
So this program is sort of, if I'm understanding, it's a liaison between the veteran and the companies.
It's not just the companies. It's a comprehensive program. A lot of people who get out have a variety of needs, and so we have very personalized assistance. Somebody's assigned a scout. That's what it's called. That person develops an action plan for them around eight different areas in their life. It could include employment. It might include health care. It might include veterans benefits or education, things like that. Say, all right, what do you really need to be successful? Where do you want to go? And that plan, we then connect them with all the resources in the local community in which they want to live. One of the neat things about the world we live in today is there's actually a lot of resources for people getting out of the military. But connecting them to those resources and being a mentor for them as they go through that process, that's something, that's the gap that we're filling.
Yeah. Well, there is now, but unfortunately in the past, that was a very big empty space, but not anymore.
Absolutely it was.
Yeah.
No, you're right. And you know, it's the Vietnam generation today that are largely responsible for making sure that what happened to them is not happening to this group of young men and women who are serving.
Correct. Well, very, very interesting. Where would we get more information about this?
Well, you obviously, you can go to uso.org at any time, and our programs are up there. If you want to look specifically at Pathfinder, it's uso.org/program/USO Pathfinder. But you can also, if you're active duty, you can go into any USO, and they'll have information about the program and where you can get signed up and how you can get a scout helping you in your transition.
Perfect. Hey, thanks for your time today. Happy Veterans Day to you, by the way.
Happy Veterans Day, Ron. Thanks again.
Okay, take care.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Preston Rice joins us now. He co-wrote a children's series, Little Forces, with your brother, I understand. Is that true?
That's correct. Yeah, my twin brother, Brock Rice.
Wow, very cool. Why a children's series? How did this come about?
Yeah, funny situation. Before my brother actually had children, I had three boys, and we were sitting down for a birthday one night, and we started kind of going through Facebook and talking about, you know, reminiscing on previous stuff and going through some pictures of a friend of ours, and he had a son wearing one of his berets, and in the Special Operations Community, United States Air Force, combat controllers have specific berets. Mm-hmm. So we noticed that, and we thought, hey, that's a really cute picture, you know, pretty funny. And like, hey, what about little kids in the neighborhood running around doing these missions? And we kind of went from there, and that's kind of where the idea kind of was conceived.
Wow. Now, you were actually an active member of the armed forces, I understand, as well. And
that's correct.
Did any of your experiences influence anything in this series?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I supported the special operations and even went to Iraq. Mm-hmm. I'm supportive of OEF as well, and Operation Iraqi Freedom. Yeah. And just being part of that community, and my twin brother being the special operator that he was, when I ended up getting out of the military, I actually went and got completely involved with the community, and I was going to school at the time. So when families deployed, I would help around in the community doing any kind of work that needed to be done for any guys that were gone.
I see. So this basically, I mean, in general, as far as children relating to this, this is kind of a lesson in teamwork, I assume.
Absolutely. Yeah, we have a lot of different attributes we're trying to hit on throughout the progression of the stories. Teamwork, sharing, building confidence and leadership especially, and even taking charge in the community.
Yeah. Okay. So are kids responding to this?
Yeah, actually, we've donated quite a bit of books. We have some who also in the military community, their parents have purchased some as well. Mm-hmm. But out of all the children we spoke to, even in school districts, we talked to kids, and they love it, and they want to be part of the Little Forces, and they can't wait for the next one.
Now, when I was a kid, we always ran around and played role-playing like that. We would be maybe cowboy, or we would be on a mission or something like that. That's rather, especially for boys, and not to be sexist or anything, but especially for boys, that's kind of like a normal activity, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. When we were kids, we were doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing. You know, we had our heroes too, you know, G.I.
Yeah,
Joe, that
absolutely.
Type of stuff, being out in the woods, getting dirty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is just a natural progression, I guess, but now you're relating it to what actually can happen, and you're just kind of building kids' confidence?
Yeah, a lot of confidence, a lot of leadership, you know, just positive attributes, but good behaviors overall, and just getting involved with the community.
Yeah. What about, let me ask you a kind of a sensitive question. A lot of people are concerned about violent tendencies in children, and a lot of the games that children play running around, you know, as war heroes and cowboys and things, that has a tinge of you know, there's phony weapons involved and stuff like that. But kids have been doing that for, you know, forever, for generations. Is there a concern there somewhere, or does this not play into that?
You know, I've actually discussed that with a lot of family members, my twin brother especially, and really, like, when you get out, and kids, a lot of young boys especially, they crave, you know, some sort of a wrestling and kind of a, you know, not violent, but more of a physical kind of play, if you will, in that sense. Even if you, you know, run out in the woods and a boy, you know, unfortunately, guns we're going to see all over on TV and cartoons and all that kind of stuff. And we're not trying to promote, you know, use of weapons, but, you know, responsible use, definitely. But more these type of this equipment that they use is more of a play type, like the launcher is actually a water balloon launcher. It could be transitioned to a net launcher. And we use the drones and other kind of radio communications as well. So it's not all about violence. It's just about resolving issues that one may find themselves in as a child.
How many books are in the series?
So far, we have three.
Three, okay. Give me an example of one of the books and how that one that kids are really taking a shine to.
Yeah, so book number two came out, and that one is called The Little Horses in the Water Rescue. A quick synopsis of that is just a boy basically just doesn't listen to his mother, and he's a little mischievous and ends up putting himself in a dangerous situation out on a lake in his raft. And finds that he needs help really quickly, and then escalates the issue, unfortunately, in the story. And the little forces are happen to be there and pull their resources together and are able to put together a really creative and kind of a fun mission, if you will, you know, where we introduce more characters and they're able to resolve the issue. And the boy really learns his lesson about, hey, maybe I should have listened to my mother.
Yeah, there you go. There's a good lesson. So, do any of the characters transcend from one to the next, or are they all individual, completely individual stories?
All of them actually transcend into the next story with the more characters coming in, and every now and again, characters in the future too will be in and out of the story.
Oh, so it's almost like a television series.
Absolutely.
Okay, cool. Maybe someday, who knows, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So tell me where the books are available. I assume everywhere.
Yeah, we actually have, we did self-publishing, so we have our own website. It's littleforces.com. You can find more information about ourselves as well as stories.
Good.
And also amazon.com. You can find it on amazon.com just by typing in Little Forces.
Perfect. Hey, it's a pleasure speaking to you.
Absolutely. You too.
And take care of yourself. Bye-bye.
And you too. Thanks. Bye.
Well, there you have it. There you have it. Thank you so much for listening. I'll be with you again on Monday. Until then, I wish you peace.